just behind. Okay. Greetings, everyone, in the name of the Lord from Kathy and I. What I'm going to do is bring a message. It's going to be in two parts. For the last few weeks, the Lord's been, I don't know, just been meditating on some things that I've been sensing from the Lord. And I talked to a good friend, my good friend Steve, about some of this from time to time. And then the Lord began to lay something else on my heart just this past week. And so I began to write some things down. I realized it's almost like I had two messages. I didn't see the connection, and then the Lord showed me. And so I'm going to try to bring this, and the name of it is Partnering with God. And if you've ever gotten a prophetic word, and if you've been into any of my trainings, most of the prophetic, you'll hear this, most of the words you get, they require your cooperation, it's sometimes the Lord will speak some things, and this is just, he's going to do it. And sometimes he don't want our help. He just wants to do it. He's told me that before. I said, "Well, Lord, I'm trying to help you. I don't want your help. I told you I was going to do this." But anyway, so, but there are times, many times, when we have to cooperate, partner with him. Now, this could be a word that the Lord just gave you, just spoke to you. You're reading the word and studying the word, and all of a sudden the Lord just begins to speak to you something, and a prophetic thing or whatever. I know a brother that I was in class with out in Colorado in my third year of Charis Bible College. He was a young man and had a really excellent heart, a single young man, and he wanted to be married. He was just he there was nothing that stood out in him that would draw anybody to him, just nothing, no frills about him. He's very humble. And he knew that the Lord had spoken to him that he was going to be married, but he was already in his 30s. And he recently got married. And he's in his like mid to late 40s now. And it was just perfect, a perfect mate for him. He just full of joy, and they are. But he cooperated. See, your cooperation doesn't make things come quicker. Sometimes it's still going to be a while. I've even had the Lord showed me, revealed to me that some of my words that I had gotten are going to be decades. I had one word that was going to be a lifetime away, because I got the word when I was 4 or 5 years old, and that thing hadn't come to pass yet, but it's coming. And so now you might think these words may not apply to you because I'm such and such age. I've been teaching some young people stuff, granddaughter said, "Well, I'm so young," but I'm so young. That doesn't matter. And so, you might think, "Well, I'm this age now." Well, then that doesn't matter either. Remember, my last message was stop settling, and so we tend to do that. So anyway, but if you were given a word, I'm trying to think of the proper scenario. That you were going to be, let's say you were going to be put in charge of, the Lord said, "One day I'm going to set you in a place where you're overseeing a foundation that supplies funds and finances to three different ministries, and you're going to manage it, and you're going to keep track of it and be able to manage the funds." and you don't have any training in that. Well, you can guess at what part of your partnership in that would be. You got to go get, well, I'm going to go find out what is a foundation and how it works. How do you manage one? And so, you know, that's part of it. You learn these things. You go pick it up, and you go pick up something. You learn how. You learn, well, what's this about? You have to get yourself prepared so that he can use you in that thing. It's not going to just, well, I'll just wait and he'll do it whenever he gets ready. Well, if he put you in it and you weren't prepared for it, then you could cause that thing to collapse if you didn't know how to manage it properly, right? I don't know if that's a good example. But the first part of this partnering with God is about excellence of spirit. And that would be like the subtitle to this. The first part is excellence of spirit. This is the thing that's been on my heart for weeks, really months, I guess. I'm going to give you a scripture. Daniel chapter 5, verse 14. I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. I have heard, this is Belshazzar speaking to Daniel. Now, Belshazzar, you got to know the story, but Daniel has been there a while. I mean, he actually served Belshazzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar. And so the Lord worked mightily through Daniel. Many, you know, wonders and interpretation of dreams and visions and miracles and things happened. But Belshazzar was, he was just a rascal, you know. And so, you know, they decided to have a big party and had hundreds of the leading people in this country and the lords, they called them, and they were partying, really. And he decided to bring in the vessels from where they had brought in, gone and torn down the temple and brought out all the holy vessels. And they had them in the, you know, treasury there, and he had them brought to this party. And they began to drink wine out of these vessels. And then a finger showed up and started writing into those, I'm sure they were masonry walls, just started writing in the wall. And they got Belshazzar's attention anyway, but they had nobody to interpret what was written. And, you know, the Lord was upset about this deal. These are holy, still, these, everything if you go back and study and read everything about the temple and the tabernacle in the wilderness, all of these things that were a part of it were made holy. And so they're desecrating holy things. And so anyway, he didn't have anybody to interpret what was written on the wall. So the queen came to him and said, you know, to tell him about Daniel. And he calls for Daniel. Daniel comes up and he says, I've heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. And so he's saying, now this is the only version I found that says the Spirit of God. A lot of them really translate, they say the Spirit of the gods. And I think that's what he actually said, because later on he's talking and he says, well, I know that the Spirit of the Holy God is with you. So, but he says, it says here, the Spirit of God is in you, and that light, that's illumination. That's not natural. This is different from knowledge, logic, reasoning. This is different. It's illumination and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. So the Spirit of God was with him. Here's a note from Andrew out of his commentary on this particular scripture. It says, notice that all of the accolades given to Daniel were about the Spirit of God indwelling him. Daniel hadn't taken any of the credit for the miracles he had performed. I reference Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 27. It talks about that. He said he hadn't taken any credit for the miracles he had performed, and it showed in the things that others were saying about him. They were saying that he had an excellent spirit. And why is this important in partnering? Well, if you don't have if you're not working on your heart, the excellent spirit, I'm going to say like an excellent heart, if you're not preparing yourself, you know, I talked about preparing yourself for whatever the Lord might have spoken to you. But if you're not preparing yourself, I mean, I know people who were called to pastor and they never heard, never thought, never even entered their mind that they might ever want to until they heard it. And all of a sudden the desire was there. And then they said, well, I better go to Bible college or something and get myself, I better go sit under some pastors, you know. But you got to prepare yourself. So part of preparing yourself is, see, you know, somebody can set you into a certain place. Your anointing can set you into certain situations. But it's the character of the one's heart, the excellence of spirit that will keep you there and maintain you, because you won't violate it. And this is required. This is part of what's going to help you to partner with him. It's going to help you in faith. Can't stand in faith if your heart isn't excellent towards him. You know, it says in Chronicles, there's a scripture there that says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts is perfect towards me, that I might show myself, you know, strong in behalf of. In other words, their hearts are fully committed to me. And they're only looking to me. They only care about the things I care about. I don't have that reference right now. I think it's 2 Chronicles 15 or something like that, but I'm not sure. Anyway, but here's another note I got from Andrew. I was just looking through some things he had written. Excellence is more than talent. It is a reflection of God's presence within you. It cannot remain hidden. In time, it will be revealed and will make room for you. While mediocrity may go unnoticed for a season, pressure will expose it. But those with an excellent spirit will always rise. You know, pressure will reveal all of these things. Here's the thing, life is pressure. and it's good to develop this excellent spirit, excellent heart, because if you have an excellent heart, I don't have to talk about stop settling, because you won't. It wouldn't even enter your mind to stop pursuing him and getting to know him more, no matter your age. No matter. And the thing I have against, I don't know if I should say it this way, the thing I have against what has been, as far as the Christian church, is it's taught people to settle. You're good now. You're born again. Now do these things. Come to the meetings. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, come to the Bible studies. You know, you do these things. You know, and some of them are spirit filled. So get filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay. Well, there you go. So there's no pursuit of him. These are, you're just equipped to go. You're not going anywhere. You're just getting ready. So, you know, one of the things I found that crept into the churches that I helped build, I helped start. I've helped start, plant many churches, several. And I was a leader in most of them. And they all started out really, really good. I mean, people's lives were being absolutely transformed, and they were on fire for the Lord, and love to come together and worship together and give testimony to the daily things that were taking place in their lives, and giving glory to God for the testimonies of His grace and the signs and wonders and miracles that were taking place in and out of the building, and mostly out. And what they turned to, and most churches are now, it's like a behavior modification. You know, we just want you to be good. We want to teach you how to be a good citizen. We want you to be good. You know, learn how to not sin so much, you know. And so in your actions and in your thoughts. So, but you know, we just want you to be good people. Well, how good is good enough? Somebody wrote a book entitled How Good Is Good Enough. It was a good book. I've got it somewhere. Read it. And but that's what's happened, see, with the body of Christ in this country. This is what I know from the Lord, the things that He's been showing me. He doesn't speak to me about any other country, but He does about this country. But the thing is that if you've been developing an excellent spirit, pressure will reveal it. And if you've been faking an excellent spirit by trying to be good and behave, pressure will reveal that too. I'm going to give you some examples in my own life in a little bit, but I just want to tell you, excellence is not something that you can sit around and wait for. You know, I was saying here, you know, that Andrew's note says that excellence is more than talent. It's a reflection of God's presence within you. Well, if you're born again, He's within you. You have a brand new spirit, okay? But that doesn't mean that you've submitted to it. See, it requires our continual yielding to and submitting to, surrendering to and submitting to the indwelling Christ. And so, you know, I've been part of churches, and especially church plants, where the pastor would recognize someone that has particular giftings, like somebody's good at gathering, or somebody's good at leading. They're a born leader, you know, but they don't have an excellent spirit. You know, but because, and then they want, then the pastor, and I've tried to warn them. It's a very few times do they ever listen, but yeah, they can do all these things and they could be there and they could do a help and all that, but they're going to turn on you because they haven't bought into your vision, because they don't have an excellent spirit. It's not there, okay? Excellence is born out of renewal. It's not just born out of just being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's okay, now, you know, it's like the youngest baby Christian doesn't have any more of Jesus living in them than, you know, Andrew Womack, or, you know, I mean, I was thinking today about, I can't remember his name, it escapes me, but maybe somebody will remember, but the man, there was a man used greatly in the Azusa Street revival. He's a black man, and I can't remember his name. But the youngest baby Christian doesn't have any more of Christ in him than they do. The difference is they yielded and submitted to it. So the, here you are, you've got, okay, there's you, and see, it's like where are you in your level of submission to the indwelling Christ? Because we live in our soul, out of our soul all the time. And we were so much like that before we got born again. Okay, here we are. Now, let's renew our mind. Let's, you know, Romans 12, verse 1, present our whole entire being to Him as a living sacrifice. And as we continue to grow in that, see, we grow in that and be transformed by the renewing of our mind, guess what? Then He begins to take, the Christ in us begins to emerge. And it's like you see the new you begins to show itself. It begins to reveal itself. And that's who you are, but it's you, but it's Christ in you. You see what I mean? So the first, the excellence is born out of renewal, submitting to and surrendering to and embracing a revelation of Him. Now I'm going to say a revelation, not the revelation. I say a revelation because there's so many. We need to grow, have more encounters and revelations of Him, of His love and His grace that's in us and upon us, you know, and towards us. So the first step, though, is like a total transformation of the heart. A total transformation of the heart. The heart, you know, once you're born again, your heart is absolutely freed from, stripped from the burden, the weight of sin. It's gone. It's gone. And the sentence of condemnation to hell is over. Completely over. No, not going to happen. Okay, it's not going to happen. And you can't try to be good to keep it. Okay, or to improve it. That's not, that won't work because that's dead works. Okay, that's you working on that. Our part is to come and embrace the cross, the dying of ourself, the death of ourself, you know, die to ourself, but alive unto Him, present ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service, reasonable form of worship, and be transformed by the renewing of our mind, you know? And so, for me, now here's a funny thing to me. You know, for me, it was a major event when I got born again, because, you know, I had demons. I've said it before. And the Lord delivered me of demons. And I was high at the time. Matter of fact, I was high on cocaine. I've been doing so much coke for days. And I had no shortage of it, you know. And so I had some, you know, and I was, but that evening about 7 o'clock, when I surrendered to Him, He cast all the demons out. And He came in, and it was dramatic, and it was like overwhelming. And I felt the weight lift, and I experienced His love, you know, and being loved. Incredible. All the rage and anger was gone. Just absolutely like it didn't exist. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to have that experience. I know someone, I was thinking about them today. There's a young lady who didn't have that kind of experience because she never lived the life I lived. She's an old country girl, and she had great family life. Never had anything bad happen to her. Nothing scarred her. She had no baggage, in other words. She didn't have any scars. She didn't have a wounded spirit. She had an incredible mom and dad. And she just grew up in her home. At some point in a young age, 4 or 5 or something, she gave her heart to Jesus, and that was it. That's all she ever knew. She didn't have a dramatic experience. But she wasn't sure about how to grow in all of it. And then she went to Charis Bible College in Raleigh. And she attended some of my training. And, you know, the whole thing about the training I was doing, prophetic training, really is about how to distinguish and understand the ways that He speaks to us and then learn how to just hear and just be with Him and just... And one time she came to me towards the end of this, you know, as I forgot what it was, six nights of training or whatever it is, I forgot. And she said, you know, this has opened up so much to me. I now know that I can just hear him all the time. She says, she still lived at home. And she says, I go out on the front porch, sitting in the porch swing, and just have 3 hours of conversation with Jesus. We're just having conversation, just so intimate. And see, she didn't go through the things I went through. But she still had that, she had a choice to make, and she wanted to know him more. She wanted to not settle. She said, no, I'm not going to settle. And once you do that, you never will settle. You can't do it. You just can't do it. But we tend to do it. We tend to do it. It's in our nature to do it. That's why we have to stay, you know, just at the cross, for one. But for me, it changed me. And I'm not saying it made me a real good guy to start out with. You know, you probably heard some of my testimony where I'd go witness some, you know, all the bad people I knew. I mean, these people, you could disappear, you know, if you misbehave. That's just the way we were, you know, it's the life we lived. And, but I'd go witness to them, and if they mocked the Lord, because I whooped the rear end. That's just me. That's just the way I was. Of course, I got chewed out about it, you know, from those over me that were teaching us about Jesus. You know, you don't do that anymore. You don't? All this was new. But it changed me in many other ways. You know, I was raised in a home. My dad was a World War II vet, and I understood honor, and I understood respect. And, you know, I love this country, and I love the flag, and I love the American history. I studied it and things like that. So I had some things in me, but I kind of left that, you know. I understood how you're supposed to treat people with respect, but I didn't do it after I got into drugs. But anyway, a lot of things happened. But after I was born again and filled with the Spirit, I had to have a job because I couldn't keep working as a drug dealer. So anyway, I got a job with a carpenter crew, a man running the crew, and I wasn't supposed to get the job. It was supposed to go to someone else, but he said he's not going to go. You go in my place. I said, okay, I did. And the guy didn't want me because I weighed about 145 pounds. And this is hard work. I mean, I might be picking up 145 pounds. And I could. I was strong for 145. But anyway, you know, his love impacted me to the point where I don't care what nobody had to teach me. I don't care what I'm doing. I'm going to do this as unto the Lord. I'm doing this for you. And I went to work for the guy, and he hired me, paid me $3 an hour, which was big money back then, 1973. To start out, that's better than minimum wage. So, but I told him, I don't think I told him when I first met him, but after 2 or 3 days, because I would work. I mean, it was wearing me out. I only weighed 145 pounds, but I told him, I said, I'm going to give you everything I've got. But I'm telling you right now, I'm blessed. I knew that much. And I said, I'm blessed, and because I'm here, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to be the best employee you ever had. Nobody's going to outwork me. Nobody's going to get here before me. I'm going to be here 30 minutes before work. You know, 10 minutes before work is late. I was hard on the men that worked for me. But anyway, because that's what an excellent spirit will do. It'll change you. And so, he looked at me, and he was kind of a believer, you know. I mean, But he really, he just loved me. And I prayed, Lord, I need more strength. I mean, at the end of the first week, I was so sore and hurting, I couldn't even sleep. And you know, I gained 45 pounds in 4 months of muscle. I mean, I gained 45 pounds. I was 190. And, I could do all this work. And so, but you know, the thing is, I didn't care what he paid me. I didn't care if he promoted me. I didn't care. All I cared about was pleasing, doing everything with, I wanted to do everything the best that I could do it with excellence to honor Jesus. You know, and I told my boss, his name was Jim, we thought he was old. He was 51. He thought he was old. And I said, and we called him Papa Jim, you know. And I said, Papa Jim, I'm going to try to always do the things that you want me to do and to please you. I'm going to do it at least as good as you want me to, and I'm going to try to do it better. And he just loved that, you know. I mean, I made him look good, but I made him money. And, you know, he would raise me. He would give me raises. I never asked for them. And I'd tell him, hey, you don't need to give me a raise. I'm fine. No, I'm going to give you a raise. You've earned it. But you see, that's how my life went. And eventually he made me a partner. I mean, within a year, just over a year, he made me a partner in his business. That never entered my mind. So I'm making half the profits now. I mean, I went from making, I think it was up to about $4 or $4.25 an hour. All of a sudden, I'm making half the profits. And so then he turned the business over to me. He wanted to quit, you know. And he taught me how to do remodeling. He taught me building. I mean, I had studied, you know, design in when I was in high school, so I could do that. But the thing is that there were many tests, because the Lord has spoken to me about money when I got born again, and that he was going to put me in charge of a lot of money, and he was going to cause me to be a financier in the kingdom. Now, I don't see that yet, but it's coming. Now, I'm only 75. Don't tell me about how old you are and I'm too old. I don't want to hear that, because he's speaking to me. I mean, today, these days, he's still talking to me about what he plans to do, okay? And so, because of what he wanted to do, see, what will happen with the word that you get, the things that you sense from him, even, I mean, sometimes it's not a word. You just, okay, I know I'm going to be doing this. The enemy's going to try to trip you up because of that word. And I've had many opportunities to be multimillionaire if I would just look the other way, you know. And, you know, I'd get, somebody would call me from Duke University or UNC Chapel Hill and ask me to come over and give them a price on, you know, doing remodeling on a dorm, you know, or, a building, doing some, you know, whatever. And I'd come over, and of course, there'd be several people bidding on it, and I'd win the bid. I mean, I wasn't trying to win. Sometimes I'd double the price because I didn't want the job. I'll be honest with you. I'd double the price, and I'd still be the low bid. And so I always did excellent work, and they wanted me to come and work there. But if you'll scratch our back, you know, you'll be a millionaire. You know, you can bring 40 men here. They'll be working under you, and we'll pay you $35 a man hour. And so, I mean, you can have 10 of them making minimum wage if you want to. I mean, that kind of craziness. And I said, no, that wouldn't honor the Lord. I'm not doing it. See, and so one day I was meditating on that before the Lord, and the Lord said, you can't be bought. You're right, I can't be bought. It didn't matter to me, because I had been not consciously thinking about it, but I was developing an excellent spirit, an excellent heart, because all I cared about was doing things that would honor him, that were pleasing to him. I wanted to do whatever I was doing with excellence. I mean, if I lost money, I lost money. I did, that wasn't important. I knew the Lord, the blessing of the Lord was on me. And, you know, and I learned that I wasn't very good at bidding a job, remodeling. And I've lose money, so I've quit bidding on them. I said, listen, I'll do it, but I'll do it time and material because I would lose money. And now if I came to you and I said, you know, I said, Pastor Ernestine, I'm going to remodel, you know, you want me to remodel your house? Okay, this is going to cost, you know, $200,000. And I get into the project and I realize I underbid it. It's going to cost $250,000. It's going to cost me $250,000 to do it. And I'll make nothing. I'm going to pay you $50,000 to do the job. And one of my men came to me and he said, this is a lot more than... I said, yeah, I know it. He said, well, you need to go to the client to let them know. I said, no, that's not their fault. That's my fault. That's not their problem. The Lord will look after me. He always has. See, that's putting your trust in Him. And so, now this is not to say, I'm not saying this because I'm a good guy. It got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with the Spirit of Christ that was dwelling in me that I was wanting to yield to and submit to. It was because all I cared about was that, just honoring Him. And we can do that. This, listen, if this is speaking, if you're getting any of this, if you're getting it, there's a reason. If this is like, oh, the Holy Spirit's bearing witness to, of this to you, there's something for you in it. What you have to do is find out what it is. You have to find out, why is He giving me this revelation? Whenever you're reading the Word and you come across and all of a sudden something opens up to you, it's not to tickle you, your heart. It's something He wants to say. This applies to you somehow. So anyway, that's the way the Lord worked it with me. Now with this lady I was telling you about, she just wanted to develop this relationship that was more intimate. And she did. She didn't need to have the dramatic things that I had happen, you know. She didn't need to have such a demonstration of things when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. She didn't need that. It was a different way. But we both know what we need to do. We need to honor Him. And we need to spend time with Him and hear from Him and talk with Him and listen. And so that's what we did. But developing the excellent heart, the excellent spirit, is what will help it enable you to partner with Him when He speaks something to you. Now, there might be a time when it's not just about what you might be doing. It might be what's going on in your life right now. Maybe you're going through a relationship issue and you're really troubled about it. And I mean, I've counseled so many people. Listen, I've seen a lot. People go through all these things. You think that people going to church and the family's doing great and all that. Next thing you know, the parents are here sitting in front of you. They're about to divorce. And there might be something in a relationship. Well, for you to be able to get through that, we have to go back and start at the cross, dying to yourself. But we had to develop the heart. What if you need a healing? And the Lord is speaking some things to you, but you can't quite get it. You know, that's what I'm going to talk about the next time. How do I partner with this? When is it time to fight, and when is it time to rest? You know, but you can't do either one if you haven't developed that uncompromising heart, no matter what the circumstances are. Yeah, I'm going to worship Him. No matter what the circumstances are, evil comes, that's not Him. I'm not going to blame Him. I'm going to trust him. He's going to show me a way through. You know, he's going to show me. And I remember sitting, I was talking to the Lord about this. You know, I was talking to my brother Steve Humphrey about it in California. You know, it just seems like people now, Christians now, are just not on fire. They're not excited. They're not hungry. They're settled. And they're cold, become cold. You know, I think I told you last time, when you, the moment we settle for whatever's comfortable, the transforming of your heart has stopped. You've knocked it out of gear. And that's, I don't care how much scripture you meditate on, it's not, you forget it. Because you've settled in your heart, you've settled. I'm comfortable now. And so, it's about, you know, well, there's so many people, majority, 99.99% of the body of Christ are just cold. And they, in their heart. And I was talking to my buddy Steve out in California, and somebody came to him, asked him to come and disciple a group of men. And he began to disciple them, and they are on fire now. I mean, he's so excited to be with them, because they pull stuff out of him because they're so hungry for Jesus. I mean, these are some rough characters, you know, used to be rough characters. But now he's excited about that. And I said, he was telling me about, yeah, I got this. I said, well, you know, they're so hard to find now. But we could stir ourselves up. We could change that tonight. I know I'm not just talking to just the people that are on here. The Lord will bring people to the website or whatever to listen that would help. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to kind of, is there a scripture for me somewhere? So I was reading, I mean, within a few hours, I was reading Ephesians 6, verse 5. And I'm going to get off of here in just a minute. I meant to see what time I started, but I missed it. I'm going to read it in the New Revised Standard. Ephesians 6, verse 5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling in singleness of heart as you obey Christ, not only while being watched, while being watched and in order to please them, but as slaves of Christ, not slaves of them. And doing the will of God from the heart. This is the things I was just talking about. See, not only I, but a group of us men, young men then, that got born again and delivered from that lifestyle, we were experiencing this. We were doing this right here, and nobody had taught us this. It was because of responding to him. But you see, then it goes on, verse 7 says, render service with enthusiasm as to the Lord and not to men and women, knowing that whatever good we do, we will receive the same again from the Lord, whether we are slaves or free. Now, sometimes these people were slaves. They were bought. Sometimes they were bond servants. They would sell themselves out for a period of time, you know. But then, you know, as soon as I was reading this, the Lord said, here's your scripture. This is it. If you're an employee, you know, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. I reference the Passion Translation. It's not something I go to read. But those who are, this puts it into today's kind of language, but those who are employed should listen to their employers and obey their instructions with great respect and honor. Serve them with humility in your hearts as though you were working for the master, for Jesus. Always do what is right, and not only when others are watching, so that you may please Christ as his servants by doing his will. Serve your employers wholeheartedly and with love, as though you were serving Christ and not men. Be assured that anything you do that is beautiful and excellent will be repaid by our Lord, whether you are an employee or an employer. That's a little bit, but it puts it as an employee or an employer kind of a situation. It's the same thing, you see. Now, Peter goes on to talk about it. If you go into 2 Peter, I think it is, in chapter 2, he talks about the same thing, but even if you're being treated badly, well, you're not doing this for them. What about my rights? That's why I hear that all the time. Well, I mean, what gives them the right to treat me this way? And one of the things that happens when the indwelling Christ begins to reveal itself and you begin to see it too, you're being transformed, you realize it. One of the things that happens is all of a sudden you've got some giftings that you didn't even know you had. You know, one of the things that happened with me is I had a gift for leading men. I could lead them and I could teach them and I could train them. I never thought of anything like that was in me. You know, and just natural stuff that manifested afterwards, you see. But now you get people that, maybe they've gotten some natural training, but maybe some of that began to manifest. Well, don't they see how important I am? Why, I mean, they have no right to treat me this way. Well, you're not working for them. You're working for Jesus. I was just with a group just in the last week or so. And there was one lady in the group that was complaining about her job. Now, about 2 years ago, we were talking, she was praying and wanting us all to pray that she would get this dream job. It's a dream job. Now, she got the job, and it's a well-paying job. Man, well-paying job. And she had no qualifications. They trained her for it. Being paid well, and now she complaining about it. So, you know, I had to counsel her about that. Well, I mean, who you working for? Are you going to complain about this thing that you prayed for so much and the Lord gave it to you? Now, you're not honoring him by doing that. Doesn't matter how they treat you. You know, if it gets to a point where when the Lord can promote you to something else, but you got to have the right attitude about it, humility about it. It's our choice. Our choice, okay? It's our choice. Are we going to settle for where we are, no matter the age? Or are we going to say, Lord, I present myself to you. I present myself to you, my whole being, as a living sacrifice. I want to renew right now, just yield to you afresh and anew, and to whatever you have. Now, put no limits on it. Put no conditions on it. It doesn't have to fit what it looks like from church. It doesn't have to fit what my experience has been so far. I just want to do the things that please you, and I want to develop more and more an excellent heart, an excellent spirit, because then you are prepared for the next step of being able to see things come to pass that he says. I think that's the reason why, you know, when I went to Vietnam, I mean, so many things were happening around me. It was amazing. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, why did you pick me to do this? I mean, I'm the least qualified person I know. I tell him that all the time. And he said, because you just do what I tell you to do. You don't take on the responsibility. If I tell you to go lay hands on somebody, I'm going to do so-and-so, you just go do it. I said, well, I don't have to take on responsibility because you said you was going to do it. I just do what you tell me to do. He said, that's what I just said. You just do what I tell you to do. And you see, that's all that's important. Is that, and we just take care of the duty that lie nearest. Just do the things that we have before us to do, and He'll show us what to do next. Because He's supplied for us in the place where we are right now. He has a supply for us right now to do that, to develop this excellent heart and be prepared to partner with Him to bring to pass the things that He wants in your life and in the lives of others. I'm done. I'll stop right there. Thank you, Father. Anybody got any questions or anything? Let me know. Respond, though. I invite you to. I mean, you don't have to respond to me. I'm just saying, don't let it just go by. You know, talk to Him about it. But I'm done. Ernestine, I'm sorry.